growing up in Derry through 1968, the Battle of the Bogside and troops coming on the streets in 1969 when I was 14, and troops beating up friends of mine going to school. I was beaten up at the bottom of Clarendon Street once in Derry by troops one evening for nothing really, other than I was a Catholic walking up the street. And I wrote a letter to the Derry Journal about being beaten up by soldiers, and got a lot of pressure from the army after that. So I was a youthful writer at the age of 16. But one of my best friends, Paul, he met me one day in the Bogside when there had been some shootings of rioters by British soldiers. Just basically cold-blooded murder, and like in our view, especially the teenagers. He said he was going to join the Provisional IRA. Now, we'd both been endeavouring to join the sort of militant SLU, as they say, of the official IRA, but it was a worthless organisation, really. No guns, no action. But he said to me one day, we were going to go to Waterloo Street and be sworn into the IRA, and did I want to come along? And in a second, I said, yeah, sure. So at the age of 15, boy soldiers, in 1970, we both were sworn in as sort of, I suppose, junior members of the IRA. From then on, it was basically hell for leather. In your first months, you were sent out to plant incendiary devices in shops in the city centre. You were given tiny guns to go out and shoot at soldiers who were heavily armed and highly trained, And shortly after, you were given bombs and duffel bags to plant outside banks, offices, police stations. It was teenagers being sent out to wage a war with very dodgy guns and bombs. And, I had friends who were shot dead, Eamon Lafferty, for instance, and others who were shot dead and blown up or seriously injured, blown up by their own bombs. I had a range of friends who were injured, killed, shot. And here we were, this child's army really being in some sense used and abused by older men, to wage their war. When one of my friends was shot dead in a gun battle, Eamon Lafferty, I left the IRA for a while after that, and it was Bloody Sunday. I happened to be in the front line at Russell Street with my best friend Eamon McAteer at the time. We just happened to be at Russell Street when the paratroopers burst through and started firing. Eamon was so close to the paratroopers, he was captured and arrested. I was a cross-country runner at the college. I ran like the blazes through quite a bit of shooting and passed some shot people into Glenfada Park. And I think the experience of Bloody Sunday, the fact that people could be just murdered in cold blood and that nobody really cared, in my view. As a teenager, I took the view, that nobody really cared. I tried to rejoin the IRA after that, but there wasn't room for teenagers. There were so many adults had quickly joined. But over a short time, a lot of those adults fell away, through the reality of the IRA. But I was willing to fill that place. And following Operation Motorman, I think, in 72, I became quite prominent because I was young, full of piss and vinegar, as they say, fearless. And one of the few who was willing to work with explosives and also develop explosives, So I took on a lot of incendiary devices, bombs, booby traps, and then I sort of invented the Irish version of IRA version of letter bombs. Those were sent out for a while. I was blown up by one of them myself. I was being treated in Dublin, the Mater Hospital.
Were other people injured by your bombs?
No, I was showing people how to make one, and they are. And as I patted it, as it finished, I was in Craigan Heights. It went off and damn near blew my finger off. Lost the sight of an eye for a while. I was being treated down in the Mater Hospital, and it was from there that things got sort of major. A member of the GHQ staff heard that I developed these letter bombs, and although I was at that time just gone on 18, he said, the Price sisters and others have been arrested in London. Would you go over alone and run a whole letter bomb campaign? So I thought, yeah, why not? This is typical teenage. Give your all. I arrived in London with a backpack with some explosives, detonators, money. Found a flat in Earl's Court and began to send letter bombs to judges, generals, politicians, Home Secretary and Reginald Bodling, who was responsible for Bloody Sunday, in my view. 10 Downing Street, got a letter bomb. And that's the first point where, teenagers think that people open their own letters. In fact, in London, it was amazing that Reginald Bodling opened a letter bomb at his country home because others had secretaries opening letters, and that was the first time you began to realise that civilians were now in the firing line and you were responsible for hitting them, And then the bombs...
Were they badly injured or fingers and hands or what?
Yeah, one Irish woman actually was a secretary to some general name in the British Embassy in Washington. She lost a hand, And one guy at the stock exchange was fiddling with one of them. It wasn't addressed to me. He was fiddling with it and I think he was virtually blinded, But you see, if you can take a teenager's point of view at the time where your friend shot dead, people shot dead. The idea that I or anybody else, you know, I was injured myself. Injuries didn't seem relevant to people. You know, you were young, you didn't think about these things. It was kills that counted. Your commanders in the IRA, some of whom now deny ever having been members of the IRA, they were demanding kill statistics. Injuries didn't count. You know, it was the simple economy of the IRA at the time was killed soldiers count. Nothing else matters. Civilians didn't really matter. Loyalists didn't matter. It was giving London the message that, you know, you kill Irish people, we're going to kill your soldiers and send them back in boxes. I think Martin McGuinness famously said at one point in the early 70s, we're going to send your sons back to you in boxes. And that was the simplistic economy. You know, it was send soldiers back in boxes because they're killing Irish people. And I think young people in any country take that kind of view when they see a foreign army rampaging around. But I was bombing London and I started planting time bombs. You know, famously, as I said in my book, The Volunteer, I famously rang a police station on one of the first bomb trips and said, you know, there's a bomb such and such, and they hung up on me. I rang back and said, listen, there's a bomb in a shop in Oxford Street, blah, blah, and they hung up on me again, and I suddenly realised. You know, the guy shouted down the phone to me, another effing hoax, you know, fuck off. And I suddenly realised that police in London could be getting like 10 or 20,000 hoax calls a day, and I suddenly realised, my God, they're not aware that we're here and we're doing the business, so... That bomb, fortunately, that was in a shop in Oxford Street, the detonator went off and the high explosive, and it didn't go off for some amazing reason that I can't comprehend to this day. So to get around that, I planted three small bombs in Chelsea one evening near, you know, people mentioned as British intelligence, people in Who's Who and outside their houses and stuff. And I rang the police and said, listen, I rang the press association and said, I'm giving you a code word.
Yeah, so you're going to say, wasn't it, code words?
Well, listen, the IRA didn't invent the code word. I invented the code word. It was an 18-year-old who... sitting in London thought, oh my God, this is incredibly dangerous. So I rang the press association and said, look, the code word is XX, and the proof is there's going to be three bombs in about 10 minutes in Chelsea, and in future I'm going to ring you, not the police. And three bombs went off that evening. I rang back, they said, rock on, we believe you. So that was the number we rang, that I rang in future, and I think it was handed over to other units that came later. But you see, you learn very quickly, as a patriotic, fervent, motivated IRA volunteer, you learn incredibly quickly that civilians get injured, your friends get killed, your comrades get shot and killed or blown up by their own bombs, you yourself get blown up a number of times, as I was, or injured, you know, and you just take it for granted. You know, you get into a mind space where the war, the prosecution of the war, is everything, and you know, you don't have a great moral contraption around you to, you know, see, you know, you're on the run, you're moving from house to house, there's troops looking to shoot you, there's cops looking to shoot you, the average life expectancy of a volunteer on the run in Derry at that time was a year. I happened to go about four more years into 5 years, but very rare. But, you know, you don't expect to be alive every, you know, when you left the house to go on operations in the Bogside, Craigan or Brandywell or in London in the morning, you didn't expect to be alive that evening. You know, you had friends who were dead, shot dead, captured, tortured and stuff. So
you really didn't feel things. I mean, it was all adrenaline and the head.
Yeah, you had to harden yourself up to do the job. You know, you were 18 years of age. I already had 3 years of bombing and incendiary devices and some pot shots at soldiers behind me when I was 18. Then I was bombing London alone in the summer of 73. Then they sent me back at Christmas to bomb it again. I did it again. Then when I came back to Ireland, it was too hot to go into Derry. I was on the border trying to blow up, you know, trying to use landmines to blow up armoured cars. It's an economy of violence, and you just slot in. You know, the capacity for a human to engage in either gang violence, Nazi violence, British Army violence, paratroop regiment violence against civilians, it's all too easy for the human mind to think, this is my duty, my job, and think nothing of it. That's what, you know, I can't point to myself as some moral entity going around questioning it like a philosopher. When you're a teenager and you're liable to be dead that evening, you just wanted to get as much damage done to the Brits as possible before they killed you. That was the essence of my existence, was do as much damage to these bees as I could before tea time, because I could be dead by tea time.